A little bit, but also a little bit not. So just a little bit of extra context. So keep in mind that, you know, the alleged bribe was offered with the intention of quashing a story that is yet to come out. So I think, you know, the affected parties were just that desperate to ensure that the story that is yet to be revealed does not see the light of day. So one can almost understand why they would have done it, but still, yeah, no, it's no. Nevertheless, a very astonishing development, and certainly one that in my journalistic career I've not even come close to encountering before.
Yeah, I mean, when I look at what they offered you, you know, I'm struggling to get my head around it. The brazenness of it and the insult to a journalist's integrity, to thinking that in our trade we are going to sit there and take money to bury our own stories.
Yes, no, definitely. But I think it does speak to something that is probably quite troubling to highlight in terms of the South African dynamic, unfortunately. And that is that I think corruption is pretty pervasive. I think this sort of conduct is quite common, and obviously we don't hear about it all the time, especially when all of the parties agree to it. But I think the brazenness of it just kind of points to the fact that it is sort of par for the course frequently for individuals involved in the state sector and the interaction between the state sector and private companies, etc., that a lot of them don't really pause to consider this as an option to smooth things over, to make sure certain deals go through, to clinch contracts, silence journalists, etc. I think, unfortunately, this is probably one small symptom of South Africa's larger corruption malaise.
Of course, it's two people taking one hell of a chance, because there's no guarantee that a person is going to accept this bribe. And they took the chance. And of course, if you bribe somebody, it is an offense. I mean, and if you get exposed, you can be prosecuted.
That is certainly our reading of the law too. And now the law enforcement bodies need to step in and do their work, because we have obviously put on the table, put in the public domain, a very compelling evidence of what transpired at the meeting. And it is now certainly, you know, the ball is in their court. And let's hope there is some action on this.
Have you had any response from the parties concerned, or are they hiding in a corner of a coffee shop in Sandton?
Coffee shop sponsored with VBS money. We reached out to the affected parties because we have to offer them right of reply, and they did indicate that they were going to miss our deadline before today's publication. We'll certainly, you know, if there's any comment coming in, we'll publish that. But at this point, we don't have any contact with them at the moment, no.
And in terms of the bribe, just to tell our listeners that you have got a record of this, I mean, you know, alleged is the legal term, but the evidence is there for everybody to see. They can go to the Daily Maverick website and they can be surprised.
Yes, yeah, so we have published snippets of the video, the most pertinent parts, and also select sound bites from what transpired. And certainly, you know, the thinking public can access this material and, you know, make their own assessment of what transpired at the meeting. But it does seem pretty clear cut in terms of what happened on Sunday.
And the story that you say that, interesting, they wanted to shut the story down before it was even published. When is that story going to be released to the public?
So Daily Maverick will publish this investigation, and just for a little bit of clarity, it involves a property that Ms. Malaka is currently building in Gauteng, and also at the same time, it also involves a contract awarded by the IDT. And this investigation will be published on Monday, this coming Monday. We'll publish it on the Daily Maverick website, the 11th of August.
As a matter of interest, it's also for the benefit of our listeners, what kind of work does the Independent Development Trust do? Because obviously it's an organization where you have to have integrity. Not that you have to have integrity for, you do have to have integrity for all organizations, but what does the IDT actually do?
Yeah, no, that's a very good point. The integrity should be absolutely beyond reproach, because what the IDT does is it handles billions and billions of rand on behalf of the public, in essence, to build what they call social infrastructure projects. So they would go, they call themselves an implementing agent. That's technically what they are. It's a state body that then, on behalf of client departments, from the Department of Health, Public Works, works, even provincial departments, they would then, on behalf of those departments, build a school, work clinic, or fix a road, etc. These kind of like important social upliftment or social development projects. And they then charge a small management fee from those client departments to do this work. And then obviously they also contract out these work to companies, firms to do the actual work. And in this process, you know, kind of like billions of rand is spent annually by the IDT. You know, so they are in control of quite a substantial budget. They spend a lot of money, lots of tenders involved, which is why it's absolutely crucial that the accounting officers and senior officials at that entity are beyond reproach in terms of the integrity.
Certainly very, very interesting. Peter Louis Myburgh, Daily Maverick investigative journalist, who was offered 60,000 rand on the IDT story. Watch out for it on Monday. If you go to the Daily Maverick website right now, you can get some very interesting sound bites that should shock you to your core. Peter Louis Myburgh, thanks for joining us and keep up the good work.
Thank you. Will do. Thanks so much.